Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 251, the stanzas 1 and 3. It is good to sing thy praises and to thank thee, O Most High, as showing forth thy loving kindness when the morning lights the sky. And what follows, Psalter 251, the stanzas 1 and 3.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Acts 12. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Acts 12. And now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quadrants of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind up thy sandals." And so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment upon thee about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go show these things unto James and to the brethren." And he departed and went into another place. And now as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon, but they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a said day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, "It is the voice of a god and not of a man." And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms, and gave up the ghost. But the word of God grew and multiplied, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. We hope to remember in prayer Elder Galen Rosebaum of the Rock Valley Congregation, who in this past week has been accepted by the curatorium to become a student in our theological school, and Mr. Korsinki, who was scheduled for back surgery in Calgary this coming Thursday. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Eternal and almighty Lord God, the great creator and the upholder of the heavens and of the earth, the father of all mercies, the fountain of all good, where in thee we live, we move, and have our being, then in this morning hour, but also in the past week, then thou wast given sure testimonies of thy goodness, of thy faithfulness, and of thy patient long-suffering, where in the midst of all the trials and difficulties of life, as a consequence of our deep fall in Adam, then thou hast showered us and our children with so many blessings above most of our fellow travelers to eternity. Then thou wast watched over us in the home, on the way, at work, at school, wherever we were called to be. Then thou wast not dealt according to what we deserve, according to our many transgressions, but then thou wast yet done the opposite, where in this morning hour the doors of thy house have been opened for us and our children, and thou hast granted opportunity that we may enter those doors to place ourselves under thy word and eternal testimony. Ah, Lord, may we become small, may we become humbled under thy goodness, and where it may still be proclaimed that there is pardoning, that there is forgiveness for the chiefest of sinners, where the white flag of peace may still be portrayed, where it may be declared that thou hast given thine only begotten Son, that sinners may be saved. Then in this day, then thou yet calleth us to repent and turn unto thee, and as poor beggars at thy throne of grace, to be given to beg of thee, that we and our children may be washed and cleansed in the precious blood of thy dear Son. Lord, then thou wast granted in the past week that the mission board, other committees could meet, but also the curatorium, and where an elder has been accepted to be enrolled in our theological school. Ah, Lord, may it be for encouragement for us and our children, for our denomination, and then we commend them unto thee with this dear wife, the family circle, How wilt thou confirm it? With thy divine tokens wilt thou go before him as the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. And, Lord, when thou thrust out those to labor in thy vineyard, then the devil shall become so angry, and they shall experience his assaults and his attacks. But, oh, the king is an almighty king. Then thy dear son sitteth at thy right hand. Lord, wilt thou so remember us and our children with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people, where thy judgments are hanging so low over the earth, and who sees it who is troubled therewith? May we be brought more in our inner chamber, and may we as a congregation, young and old, be given to resemble, even in a little way, what we have heard out of thy word, that there was a church praying without ceasing, where there was a Peter in prison, and, Lord, there are still so many unconverted, as it were in prison, bound by hand and foot, and no realization, no concern, and no tears that they try to make the best of that prison. But all may the prayers be multiplied, that thou may do a great work amongst us by the Almighty and by the loving work of the Holy Spirit, that many sinners may be uncovered to their lost condition. And, Lord, when that taketh place, then they shall cry unto thee. Then they shall become a seeker. There shall be that godly sorrow that leadeth to repentance and a need to be reconciled. We humbly beg of thee, may it please thee to do it in this morning hour, after the day of Pentecost. Then we read in thy scriptures that thou added unto the church daily such as should be saved, and that the church was multiplied. But, Lord, thou hast a people, and may the prayers also be multiplied for them, because thou hast a people upon the earth with many questions, with many riddles, many perplexities, and they can be so bound in the clutches of unbelief, under the assaults of the prince of darkness, and then also thy church. We read in thy word of the increase of the number that fear thee, but thou also hast a people upon the earth where their graces need to be increased. Their love, their hope, their faith, their humility, their repentance, their praise and thanksgiving. It can become so still for thy church, but then what a blessing it is when the prayers are multiplied in thy church. To that end, may it please thee to bless thy word to the hearts of thy children, and that those further leadings may be experienced. Grant that tender, that close, that dependent life, a prayerful life, a life of praise, also for thy common mercies, and that it may be more and more our petition, thy kingdom come. Lord, do it then in this day for the glory of thy great and worthy name. Thou hast promised to work from generation to generation Oh, do then work in the hearts of our boys and girls, of our youth, of the middle-aged and the elderly ones. We are all hastening to that never-ending eternity, and there is but a step between us and death. And thou grantest this time as a time of preparation, ah, Lord. 'Tis perfectly known unto thee how deep we have fallen, and that thy quickening work is so necessary. Thou art so free and so sovereign. Thou art that heavenly potter. But thou hast said in thy word, I will be inquired of the house of Israel to do it for them. Lord, remember all the many temporal needs. Then we commend unto thee widowers, widows, those that have brought children and other dear ones to the grave. Do continue to uphold them. Wilt thou remember all our elderly ones, our Bethesda, their residents, those that care for them, and remember all the sick and afflicted, ah, Lord. An older father is scheduled for back surgery. Then we humbly ask thee, wilt thou go with him? Do guide the hands of the physician, and may the means be blessed. Remember him together with his dear wife, and above all things, that this affliction may come out of thy right hand, that it may be sanctified for the saving of souls. Ah, Lord, do remember all those that are under the physician's care in a special way, with the many fears, with the many concerns. Do grant them a place at thy footstool, and to declare with the psalmist, when my soul is overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. Remember all the handicapped ones, all the crosses and all the burdens. And now, Lord, we humbly ask thee for the opening of thy precious testimony. Oh, anoint us with fresh oil from above, that with freedom and liberty we may declare the wonderful works of God, of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, and that thy word may go forth with power divine. Ah, Lord, do go from bench to bench, and from heart to heart. Ah, those empty vessels, with all their questions and desires, be then a surprising God. And the vessels that are so full, ah, Lord, wilt thou empty them. May the outgoing of this service then be for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. We ask it in the full and the free remission of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 240, the stanzas 1, 3, and 4. O Lord, the God of my salvation, day and night I cry to thee. Let my prayer now find acceptance in thy mercy. Answer me. And what follows? Psalter 240, the stanzas 1, 3, and 4. In this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Acts 12, the verses 12 through 14. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. Our text words speak of Peter's release out of prison upon the prayers of the church, with three thoughts. In the first place, the trying occasion for this prayer. Secondly, the unified perseverance in this prayer. And in the third place, the wonderful answer upon this prayer. Peter's release out of prison upon the prayers of the church, the trying occasion, the unified perseverance, and the wonderful answer. Thus first, the trying occasion. Beloved congregation, when the Lord works in a heart and in a congregation by His blessed Spirit, then the devil becomes so angry, and then there shall be persecution. That is evident in the book of Acts, where already soon after the blessed day of Pentecost, that the anger, especially of the Jewish leaders, has become evident. But then we read in Acts 9, verse 31, and that was after the conversion of Saul. Then had the churches rest through all Judea and Galilee and Samaria. The king at the right hand of the Father, the persecution of the church, that can go no further than he permits. Oh, Christ has spoken many times of that persecution. If we think of the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, and that Beatitude is not so often spoken of, in Matthew 5, the verses 10 through 12, there's the longest Beatitude, and that speaks of the blessing of those that are persecuted. Christ, in John 15, verse 20, has said to His church, they have persecuted Me, they shall also persecute you. And in John 16, verse 33, in the world ye shall have persecution, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Paul has written to his spiritual son Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, verse 12, that all those that will live godly, they shall suffer persecution. And now in our chapter, then the persecution has come from another side. It was from a ruler. It was from King Herod. And when in this morning, we hear of King Herod, then there can be the danger that as church-going people, that we stand so far beside and so far above Herod that we do not identify with Herod. And of course, it is a blessing. And concerning persecution and grieving, then I think we can all understand when we do not walk according to God's word, when we do not walk as a separate people, but that we become world conformed, that we grieve sorely those that love the walls of Zion well. But now concerning Herod, why has he now persecuted the church? And the reason was to gain favor with the Jewish people. It is not easy to stand alone. And how many also in church that they do things even contrary to God's word, against their conscience, that they will not be singled out, that they may receive favor, and that they may have friends. Thus, in that respect, then we must not stand so far from Herod. Because what a difference between Herod and the church. This chapter begins in verse 1. Now, about that time, Herod the king, and that was Herod, a grandson of Herod the Great, stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And which time was that? That time is described in the verses 27 through 30, when there was a prophet, Agabus, and he signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world. Thus, under the judgments of the Lord, those judgments have also come upon the land of Canaan, when there would come a famine. Then in that time, then Herod has vexed the church. Ah, what is man? How is it with us, congregation? When the Lord sends trials, when he sends difficulties, do we then continue? Do perhaps we resemble Herod? And it is a blessing when the Lord restrains us, but that also under special callings, special judgments, that we continue on our wayward sin of rebellion against the word of God. And then what a difference on the church. Then they have, according to Galatians 6 verse 2, to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Then in areas where there was a little more, then the church is gathered and sent it to the needy ones. And then in opposition, a Herod, no regard for God's word, what was right, what was just, only pleasing himself and centered around I. Then he was not compassionate, not concerned about his fellow man and about his church. Ah, then we see how deeply that man has fallen. And now at that time, and then we see that there is a progression in sin, that first affects certain of the church. Maybe took their property, maybe they were dismissed from their employment many times. That is how persecution begins. Read the history of the Huguenots in France before the massacre of St. Bartholomew in 1572. then when we read how it has slowly progressed, that persecution, then we do well to read history, and that we may be given to see the signs of the time. But then he has continued, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. That was James, the son of Zebedee. Then it has been fulfilled what Christ has declared in Matthew 20, verse 23, when the mother of Zebedee has asked Jesus for a favor concerning her two sons, that they may receive a special place in the kingdom, of course, a blessing, when fathers and mothers may be exercised with the spiritual well-being of their children. But, of course, she is asked amiss. And then Christ has declared that they would be baptized with the baptism that Christ was baptized with. And then he was given to speak of persecution. And then when he saw that it pleased the Jews, because we read, and because he saw it pleased the Jews. Thus he was more concerned to please the Jews than to please God. How is it with us? Do you hear, congregation? Maybe we are not as far from Herod as we thought. Maybe at the beginning we thought that wicked Herod, and he was a very wicked ruler, when he has killed the servant of the Most High. And do we not read in Zechariah 2 verse 8, he that toucheth that people toucheth the apple of the eye? But he was concerned about pleasing man. Is that also our life? More concerned to have the favor and friendship, and of course we read in Romans 12 that we must do our best to live peaceably with all men. And we could mention many things, we shall not broaden it out, but more concerned to please our fellow man, that they shall not leave us or mock us. Of course, that is sad. As a congregation, we have the Word of God. Then what a blessing it is when we, and especially our young people, may stand shoulder to shoulder, that it can be seen that we have a baptized forehead, but more concerned to please man than to please God. Oh, when the Lord begins to work that good work in our heart, then it becomes that concern to please that just and that good-doing God. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10, godly sorrow that worketh repentance, not to be repented of. And then he has continued. He proceeded further to take Peter also. Then we see what an awful thing that sin is. That there is a progression. And now Herod has put Peter in prison, has taken many precautions, because we read in Acts 5 verse 19, when Peter was also in prison, that the Lord has sent an angel to open the prison doors, that Peter could go out and preach in the temple by renewal. Thus Herod, boys and girls, he has taken extra precautions. We read of four groups of four soldiers. They have likely interchanged during the watches of the night. Thus they would guard the gates, four of them, And then the last night, and then we read, was the time of Easter, the Passover, and Herod was familiar with the Jewish religion, that not on the Passover, but the days of unleavened bread, many Jews would be in Jerusalem, that then Herod would bring him forth, and that he would be executed publicly. And now the last night, then Herod has even taken more precautions, and then Herod has sent two soldiers into the prison cell of Peter, and then each soldier with a chain was tied to the hands of Peter. So boys and girls, you can picture it. Humanly speaking, impossible for Peter to escape. But do you know the mistake that Herod has made? Then he has made his calculations, not reckoning with that almighty king in heaven. That was not included in his calculations. How is it with all our planning congregation? Is the Lord included? Or do we sometimes make plans and calculations without the Lord? Then we are similar to Herod. Oh, in the first place, we read in James 4, verse 14, whatever we do, the Lord willing, and we live. Lord has our breath in his hands. Then in the second place, then with all what we plan, calculate, is it according to the word of God? Was not a concern for Herod. But is it according to the word of God? The third place, can we with a free conscience bow our knees and ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing? The fourth place, an impression of Psalm 127, the first two verses, except the Lord build the city, labor, but in vain. Except the Lord watch over the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. With everything that we plan, planning is not wrong. We are rational creatures. But do we have an impression what Hagar has said in Genesis 16, verse 8? Lord, thou seest me. Whatever I do, and Psalm 139, that everything that we plan, that the Lord sees everything, an impression of the justice, the judgment of God. Thus Herod has left the Lord out of his calculations. Then we hear congregation, then we have much to think about. Then maybe Herod is not so far in the distance as we thought. And now Peter. Oh, what it was for the church. What a blow. Pillars of the church. Apostle James. He was killed with a sword. And now Herod has proceeded to take Peter. Pillars were being removed. What that was for the church, and think of those, for whom the Lord has used those men in a special way, there's the danger that we can idolize them, then it shall not go so well. They must be carried upon the wings of prayer. But when it pleases the Lord to use his servants, then there come special bonds. And now for a Peter. If we were now in the place of Peter, boys and girls, think about it. You were now in prison. And in many countries, there are many in prison, also younger people. And then if I was told one more night, and then in the morning, then the guard shall come to take you out of prison, and then you shall be judged, condemned, and then you shall be killed. And then eternity. And alas, we live in a day where death in general does not seem to make so much impression. I include God's people. Because we read in 1 Corinthians 15, also for God's people, that death is the last enemy, but it has been conquered by their king. And now let us visit Peter. Boys and girls, let us go into that prison the next day. Peter would be taken out of this life. And how was it now with Peter? Oh, then it is written in this chapter, Peter chained to two soldiers, and Peter was sleeping. I read Philippians 1 verse 21 that Paul has said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. It's not mean that Peter did not have a heart for the church, but submissive to the will of God and for a Peter at his death would be a deliverance, especially from self, from the world, from the devil, to come in a place where the church militant may be transferred to the church triumphant. And there to be in the presence of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Those long white garments, palm branch in their hands. And there forever to praise the Lord for his wonderful works. But now concerning Peter, and that is our second thought, the unified perseverance in this prayer. Then we read in this chapter, in verse 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And in verse 12, there we read, where many were gathered together praying. The Lord has decreed everything. Isaiah 46 verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning, ancient times, the things that are not done. My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my good pleasure In Acts 15, verse 18, we read, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. But we also read in Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, that the secret things belong unto the Lord, but the revealed things unto us and our children. And now we read the blessing. Oh, what a blessing and a privilege for a Peter in prison, that there was a church that was gathered together with a great burden, and they were given to pray unto the Lord without ceasing. In the margin of our Bible concerning that praying, then we read, instant and earnest prayer was made for Peter. What an exhortations, what an examples, and what a promises concerning prayer. Could that church then pray of themselves? Oh, that God's people learn. But I read in Romans 8, verse 26, but the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we ought to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And in verse 34 of Christ, at the right hand of the Father as the intercessor of Forest Church, we read in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 17 the exhortation to pray without ceasing. Oh, what a blessing when there may be prayer for all the unconverted that are, as it were, still in prison, bound, trying to make the best of their prison, realize that they are not in prison, what it is to be unconverted. What a blessing and what a privilege when the Lord binds it upon the heart. But also for people of God, as it were, they can be in prison concerning many matters, concerning their state, reconciliation, pardoning, but also in the way of God's providence. But now, what was the last night? A church that has prayed, that has begged, and no answer yet has found relief. Unanswered prayers. Are there souls that are struggling with unanswered prayers? How deep that the way can go. What an examination that requires. Thomas Goodwin, a Puritan that has died in 1680, he has written a book about Psalm 85, verse 8. The Lord will speak peace to his people. They must hear what the Lord is speaking. And then that book is called The Return of Prayers. And then he has described the many exercises the many struggles concerning the prayers of the church. Of course, can be when some traumatic happens in our life, there can be much emotion and much prayer, and that it can seem that it is true prayer. But if it is not a prayer wrought by the Spirit, then sooner or later it shall ebb away. Ah, for the Church of God, concerning prayers, especially when the Lord grants much freedom at the throne of grace. When there are times at the throne of grace, when the Lord may come over with His love, and that He grants a certain peace, when the Lord grants the Spirit of perseverance concerning the matter, although there can come a time, think of Zacharias and Elizabeth, when they have become old, and the angel Gabriel has said, "Thy prayer has been heard, Lord. What is the sign?" Then the church to examine whether it is only lively and strong desires. How the true child of God can be tossed to and fro when no answer is given from above, can also be that the Lord grants unto the child a lively and true prayer with much opening, but that the Lord grants a time that that prayer is cut off. Think of Abram in Genesis 18, where he was given to plead for Sodom and Gomorrah 50-45, and then finally he asked for 10. He ceased, no longer freedom, and the Lord departed. They have continued to pray day after day. Was in the night, Peter was sleeping, and a church gathered together, begging the Lord that the Lord may remember Peter. There's a blessing when the church may become exercised with the attributes of the Lord, because for that church to use the means to go to Herod, that would be no avail. Impossible with that iron gate to rescue a Peter. But now the Lord, it has been said, man's extremity, that is God's opportunity. And upon those prayers, not because, shall never be because, the church learns, prayers defiled with sin can be so much of self, a blessing, when with our prayers, with our vehement desires, the church becomes exercised with the first three petitions. Our third thought, the wonderful answer, let us first sing. Psalter 78, the three stanzas. Lord, I will praise thy name, for thou wast set me free. nor suffered foes to claim a triumph over me. And what follows, Psalter 78, the three stanzas. Peter's release out of prison upon the prayers of the church. The trying occasion, the unified perseverance, and now thirdly, the wonderful answer. Concerning that wonderful deliverance, how that Peter was led out, we shall leave it lie for this morning. Although with that deliverance of Peter, then we could also draw many lines to the leadings of the Spirit and the life of a true child of God. First light touched, chains fallen off the opening of the doors from one ward to another, and then finally the opening of the gate when the child may be set free. Then in this chapter, the Spirit, by the inspiration of the Spirit, then Luke was given to write upon the prayers of the church. And then we read of that company that they did not believe that Peter was set free. But shall the Lord now grant prayer in the midst of the church, and shall he leave them all in doubt with uncertainty? Or shall the great God, as he has promised, shall he answer their prayers, give that assurance by true faith that the Lord not only hears, there's a difference, but also answer. And the Lord is free and sovereign. The living church learns that it is all given good. Also concerning prayer, the hearing, but also that faith to believe that the Lord will answer in his time at his way. And to that end, the Holy Spirit has recorded that there was one among them that has been favored in a special way. That is clearly portrayed in this chapter in our text words. Then there was one among them, a damsel, a maid, usually a younger girl. Her name was Rhoda, a Greek name. It means rose. Oh, what a privilege and what a blessing when there may be those young roses in the midst of the church. No, not walking as the world, but in all simplicity and modesty with grace, walking in the tender fear of the Lord. And then you shall ask, but where is it now written that a Rhoda has received that faith to believe? Then I have another question. Let us picture it. They were in the house of Mary, the mother of Mark, a gathered church. The persecution was increasing. And then in the night watches, then a knock on the door. The Lord has given unto the weaker vessel special gifts. Also the gift that the rude manners of men may be tempered in the family, church, and community. But as a general rule, not so brave. And when they were gathered together, would the men, heads in the church, in the family circles, would they allow a young daughter to go to the door? No, that was their responsibility. But it seemed when there was that knock, they were all terrified and afraid, and then a road has went, and it is clear that it was at a certain distance, because we read when she returned, she ran. It's only a few steps, we do not run. Then we may believe that Rhoda, with those prayers, that she has received a special freedom and an assurance that the Lord was able, willing, but that he would also deliver Peter. And therefore it is implied, because when the church grants those exercises in prayer, then it is a waiting church. Blessed exercises. Are there such souls in my midst? Waiting souls for an answer upon prayer concerning a particular matter. And therefore it is implied, included in the scriptures, what Rhoda has done. When she heard that knock, that she was given to believe, all the others remained, even the men whose responsibility it was, also head over the younger daughters, but they have remained terrified. But a road was given to believe that the Lord has answered her prayer. And then she went to the door to ask who was there. And then because of gladness, and that was a twofold gladness, of course, it's possible that the Lord had used Peter for her conversion and for her instruction, special bands, and that she thought, how must I continue without that instruction? Thus that gladness that Peter stood at the door, but in the second place, that the Lord has answered her prayers. Oh, what an encouragement and a comfort answers upon prayer can be, because it can be so tossed to and fro and so attacked. The devil says, you better cease. Can ever be. And it shall never be. But when the Lord answers, that gives a rejoice. You know, it's not the foundation, but a sure sign that we have not deceived ourselves also in that matter. And then with rejoicing and firmness, then she has returned to that praying church. And then she has said, and we must remember, was a rich time in the church. Many established people of God. And then she has went to that people, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate, but oh, how it was sorely tried and tested, that the whole church is, Rhoda, you are mistaken. They even said more. You are mad. Oh, in that respect, she resembled her king. Because they have said the same thing of Jesus in John 10, when he has spoken that he was the good shepherd, and that loved by the Father, and that he would give his life. And then they have said to Jesus, he had the devil and is mad. They have said the same thing to Paul in Acts 26, when Paul is preached before Agrippa and also before Festus. Then Festus is said to Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. Thus, what a trial for that young Rhoda. Oh, Rhoda, established people of God. And not to misunderstand does not mean young people, that young people cannot be established. Oh, read the sermons of Andrew Gray. What profound experience concerning the things of the Lord, but what a trial for Rhoda, an established church. Rhoda, you are not now the only one. Can you be right? And are we wrong? But Rhoda was so assured with a true and living faith that she did not waver, that she say, I shall check once more whether it is truly Peter. But she affirmed that it was so. Peter has come to the house of Mary, the mother of Mark. Congregation, if a Peter would be set free, to bring it in the context, we're still privileged that we may come freely to God's house, do not have to be afraid that we shall be arrested for coming to church, how long it shall be, where the enmity is increasing. But if Peter would not be set free, what do you think, congregation? Would Peter then come to your house? That Peter would know tender fear of the Lord, God's word, have an authority, nothing that would grieve, and sires in the house. Would Peter then come to your house? Ah, then it was affirmed. Peter was let in, and he is told of the wonderful works of the Lord. And then he has departed. Then we see the power of prayer. Then in this chapter, then we see also for the church, all has to be given, we would say. That it is actually a strange people. Have you ever considered yourself a strange one with all the riddles and perplexities? A church together day after day praying for Peter. And then he was set free. And they could not believe it. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Ah, the Lord grant such a praying church in the midst of us, and to be given to believe that the Lord truly gives, hears, and answers prayer. This praying souls, I'll keep courage. Lord has promised it. One short thought and we shall close. We have also read the last verses of Acts 12. And what solemn verses they are. Herod, he has beheaded James, first vexed the church, beheaded James, and put Peter in prison. And yet, the Lord, in his long suffering, has spared Herod. But at the end of the chapter, we have heard it was trouble. A delegation was sent. And then Herod has appeared with royal apparel. Josephus, the Jewish historian, has stated that he has come with a silver robe. And he has spoken, and then the people have cried out that it was a voice of God and not of man. And Herod let it be. He did not speak. He took glory to himself. He gave not glory to God. And then the Lord has smitten him. And he was eaten of worms. How is it with us, congregation? Have we, by the grace of God, become image bearers of Christ? May we have a little beginning with that vehement desire that God may be glorified on the highest, or are we still living for self, robbing God of all his glory? And still, in the precious day of grace, oh, young and old, the King, he still proffers peace unto the chiefest of sinners. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Oh, we have heard of the wonders. For the Lord, nothing is impossible. Oh, my unconverted fellow travelers, still in prison, and no realization. But may the Lord work in your heart, and where the Lord has begun, then we learn what it is to be in prison, impossible to deliver us. But the Lord, he is that faithful covenant God, shall never forsake the work of his hands. Ah, for the church, it was a wonderful time, a manifestation of the wonders of the Lord, of his goodness, the past week. Lord has given a student by renewal for our theological school. Ah, may there yet be much work in our denomination concerning the kingdom of Christ. Ah, surely for the church. Then they could have sung together what we read in Psalm 126, verse 1, when the Lord turned the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Amen. Lord, we have heard of wonderful things. Wilt thou manifest thy those wonderful things in a richer measure amongst us and our dear children? Oh, wilt thou grant prayer to that end, as we have heard out of thy holy word, that they have prayed without ceasing, and thou hast answered their prayer. Ah, thou art the same, Lord, in a special way. Remember souls with unanswered prayers. Ah, keep them on their knees at thy throne of grace, unworthy and yet as poor beggars, with an eye upon thee, upon thy glory. Lord, wilt thou remember us in this day? Remember also our branch. Bless thy word among young and old. Return us in this evening hour. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Our closing psalter is Psalter 353. Let us sing 1 and 3. And now Israel may say in that in truth, if that the Lord had not our right maintained, if that the Lord had not with us remained, when cruel men against us rose to strive, we surely had been swallowed up alive. And what follows? The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. Baptism registration is scheduled for this coming Friday evening at 7:30 p.m. And I have received a call from the congregation of Sheboygan, Wisconsin. Psalter 353, the stanzas 1 and 3. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.